In the fourth stanza we have sung in hymn 11, "And yet we are happy, then he, the Lord, will always be with us. He is around his own. He never leaves us alone. And this is an eternal fact." We read it also in the scriptures, whether in the Old or New Testament. In the Old Testament we may see those who have put their hope in God, they were not disappointed. And also in the New Covenant, our Lord has given the promise to his own, "I am with you all the days until the end of the world." And this is not just being said by a man, but this our Lord said. And what he says, this he keeps for sure. And here we can be happy. For this songwriter says here, "Yet we are happy, for he, the Lord, will always be with us." And this we believe, that he is always with us. He is around his own. He never leaves us alone. And then it continues, "And even the whole world threats us with war, yet we have the victory through him." Beloved, perhaps I should read a word to it, which we find in Daniel chapter 6. Perhaps it will agree with a song. Here it says, in Daniel chapter 6, from verse 18, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Beloved, we are concerned here about the one, that God is with his own. Here it is about that God was with his own from the very beginning. A Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Why, beloved? Only because he bent his knees 3 times a day before the living God. And already there were people who did not like this, and they were looking for a reason, and they found it. And we know, if you take it rightly, Whoever was thrown into this den, for him there was no salvation. The lions were so hungry. Whoever came down there was devoured and torn in pieces. And thus the enemies of Daniel were thinking, when we have him down there, then we have this nutcase, as the world says to the believers. Then we have him away from our midst. And then it most certainly will become different. Beloved, but we are in the hands of God, and men of God are and were in the hands of God, and He has taken the responsibility for them, that even an unbelieving king had to say, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, be able to deliver thee from the lions? Yes. This man, he knew that this Daniel served God not just once when it seemed good to him or when he was well off, but he served God continually. I believe, beloved, God wants to have such people who serve Him not only in good days, but who serve Him at all times, whether in good or in bad hours. And they don't look for what comes, and they don't fall back when something comes upon them, as here Daniel, but they have dedicated their lives into the hands of God, and they know that God takes care of them. I believe this we also must know, that God cares for His own. He cares for you and He cares for me, if we totally surrender unto Him. Do we believe this with all our hearts? Dear brothers and sisters, yet we are happy, for He will always be with us. He is around us. He never leaves us alone. Did He leave Daniel? No, He didn't leave him. The lions could have been hungry as they like. They were not permitted to touch him, because the protecting hand of the living God was with him. Beloved, and the king, he might not agree with that himself, but what he once decided, and these enemies of Daniel, they duped the king and wanted to kill the righteous. But harm set, harm get, beloved. This is the thing. They accused Daniel. They spoke evil of him and did this and that. But beloved, judgment doesn't stay away with them who do something like that. And we see not only these men, but their families all were thrown into the den. And the Bible says, before they even reached the ground, they were devoured by these lions. Dear brothers and sisters, and then came this man, the king. He could not sleep. He knew what kind of a man this is. He knew that God was with him. Dear brothers and sisters, one thing we may say, all the enemies of God, it will be no different for them. We don't demand punishment, but we see everything has its punishment. Everyone gets what he deserves, whether you or me. But we want, in these days, in these evil days in which we live, we want to put our hope as Daniel in the living God. And it became so great to me that we, not only at certain times and not only at certain hours, but that we continually serve Him. As written here, in perseverance. Yes, he had to do many other things, but he served God continually, and God was taking care for him. I believe we could look at more such examples in the Holy Scriptures. But I think it is enough for this moment, for this precious example. We have come together and we want to open our hearts and mouths to give glory and praise unto our God. Beloved, the world rejoices with what it has, but we, as the people of God, we may rejoice in the living God. Is this not wonderful? And here we should not close our mouths and hearts, but for the glory of God, we should stand up and worship our God. Let us do it. Heavenly Father, your people have come together here. We as your children are here to again be revived by you, to be blessed by you. Lord, we have read your word. You are with your own. You never left nor forsook your own. So fatherly, you have taken care for them. You are still taking care for them in our days. We worship you. We praise and glorify your wonderful name. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, for all who have come, Lord, to hear your word. And you will give us even more, Lord, in these hours, in these days. We worship you and we ask you, Lord, take everything from our midst what doesn't mean you, Lord, and let your good and Holy Spirit come into our hearts so that we praise you, that we exalt you, that we serve you. As a Daniel, Lord, give grace to me and to all of us. Give grace this evening to our brother that he brings your word. O Lord, give him your words into his heart and mouth, so that we can receive it and then say, you have spoken to us. Worship and glory be to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Come, all ye poor and rich, you who are heavy laden, come. Come, sinners, and come, you saints. It is still the time of grace. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Hear the message. It invites you for the great privilege that we may be here to hear his word, and let us be blessed anew. We already have heard a whole sermon. It's not the length, but that what it contains, this counts. Sometimes a sermon can last a whole hour, and not much was said. And another time, it can be short, and much has been said. We come here with a deep longing to experience God, not only to make a pious face, not just to sing and to play, not just to hear the word of God, but to experience God. And when the word of introduction was read, I thought on the sermon of Brother Branham with the title "The Handwriting on the Wall." And there he refers to the prophet Daniel and says, at that time the heathen kingdoms had their beginning, and now they have their end. And he adds and says, as at the beginning the supernatural was manifested, when the heathen kingdoms had their beginning, so God will manifest himself in a supernatural way when the heathen kingdoms will have their end, and before God again turns to Israel. And when we have these thoughts before our eyes, then it penetrates our soul and spirit, marrow and bone. At that time, the divine confirmation was obvious. It was heard. It was seen. It had its effects through the believers on the unbelievers. It was not only the testimony of the individuals, but the confirmation of God among them and with them who stood by him. The proof of God was made that he also stands to them. Blessed be his name. If we stand by God in good and in bad days, whatever way it might come, then God will also stand by us. And if we confess him and are faithful, then he will certainly be faithful and confess us. If one would follow up all these thoughts, then there are many of them. And I believe with all my heart that God gathers us every time for a very specific purpose. Not only to serve the petrol stations that they have business, or to grant you an excursion. You most certainly would drive into the mountains and not into the plain. We come together to have fellowship with God, to hear from him. But once really strong and certain, not only through his word and through an object lesson of the examples which are shown to us in the Holy Scripture, but every one of us comes to this place to make a very personal experience with God. What good is it for us? I mean, it can be good for us. and it can strengthen our faith. But the experience of Daniel with God can of course become your and my experience with God. That it is not just a memorial, but the personal experience with God. And with this longing, which becomes stronger and stronger, and one day it will have reached the level of the unbearable, this longing fills us more and more. And may God make use of these days to really speak directly with us. Not that we think now a word from the days of Daniel is read, or from the time of Isaiah or Moses, or of the New Testament, but that we would know God's word never grew old and never will grow old. God's word is always alive, always anew, always powerful, and has always to say something to us. That's what it's here for. But it must be quickened by the Spirit. But the Spirit must not only be in the Word, He must be in each individual, so that the harmony is there, so that the connection can be established. According to my old habit, I was reading on, and I liked it beyond measure, because it is written here, "Peace be multiplied unto you." And then, "For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth." Is this not a wonderful word? Can we from all our hearts say, "O God, let this become true in our very personal life"? That God does wonders in heaven is nice, but this does not help us at all. God must do wonders on earth, for he is a wonderful God. And there where he manifests himself, there wonders happen, in spirit, soul and body. There God manifests himself in his power. Otherwise, we have only a nice service. But this one could have in his own city with an expensive organ. This is not sufficient. God has made the whole purpose known in these last days. And when the singers have sung this wonderful song, he stands already at the door, and the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." The Lord says in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21, "When you see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads." He doesn't say, "Wait until everything took place and then come to your senses." But when you see these things coming to pass, if you want to do well in the end, then you must wake up already at the beginning and set the course right and to come to your senses. And then, at the end, you most certainly will be part of it. After all, we want to have full part in that what God is doing. In what people are doing, no one of us is interested in. We want to have part in the moving of God. Before we go to some other scriptures, let me once again emphasize it from Daniel chapter 6. Peace be multiplied unto you. And then I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth. It has just happened. The word became truth. It was not just a formulation of a sentence, but a reference to that, what just took place. And if we come to the point that we can refer to that what has just happened, then it is a living testimony which has a penetrating power. I hope that we are all strengthened in the faith, giving the Lord free hand to work as he likes. For he is the living God who is steadfast forever, and his kingdom cannot be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Satan, as we all know, walketh around like a roaring lion. And some of the precious children of God shall become his prey. But the lion of the tribe of Judah, the offspring of David, has overcome. And he is the victor of Calvary. And through him we also are victors. Thanks be to our God. If we are thrown before the lion, this is not bad at all. Our God is able to also deliver us there. And this wonderful testimony would of course not be written in the Bible if God would not have had a man who was faithful also in the hour of trial. And we could now go into the prophet Daniel, who according to the plan of salvation in the Old Testament has the same significance as the last book of the Bible, the Revelation in the New Testament. There all the things are foreshadowed, and I almost wanted to say pre-programmed, as the things have to run. But today, we will not only deal with that what shall take place, but with us as the Church of the Living God. For I am convinced that God wants to deal with us. And I hope that we listen carefully, that we take it to heart, and that we believe it. It says here in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." To it, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 4, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a wonderful word. Here we have some thoughts, some main thoughts, which we want to touch upon briefly. Firstly, that God has blessed, that there was no lack, but that the church stood in such a way as God actually wanted to have it. And whoever is acquainted with the letters to the Corinthians, he knows how Paul had to rebuke and had to correct. And then there are, of course, people who say, we don't want to be a church having all the gifts and then be rebuked. I rather want that God has a church in which every spiritual gift is and which must be rebuked, than a church which has no spiritual gifts, which doesn't have to be rebuked. Did we understand this? This was not loud enough. This was not loud enough. How often we have heard it. Oh, we don't want to have these things. See what happened there and how Paul had to correct all this by the grace of the Lord. I rather want to have been blessed with every divine blessing and then once miss the mark and let myself be straightened out than not being blessed at all and just having a pious face. And if we live in a time in which God promised to restore all things, then we must count with it that he also does it. Because God stands to his word. If he had only given a topic that should be debated or philosophized about, then we would not know where we are at. But he has given a promise, and we may believe this promise. Of course, when we read the letters to the Corinthians, then sometimes it went up and down. But this is the best sign that God has blessed. When the enemy comes in between and wants to put some things upside down. When I now think about that a sister, a precious sister, probably not knowing what she said, but she just said it out of joy. Brother Frank, you are an angel. And I turned away. I have to laugh. And I went my way. It was an elderly sister. You don't have to worry. But then she called after me and says, an angel on 2 feet. Then I felt a little bit better. We are not people here with a halo or with an hypocrisy but sinners who have been saved by grace. And by this it remains. And whoever was saved is no sinner anymore, but a child of God. For this reason the grace of God appeared. Here it says, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, the same we may humbly say. There was no time in all of church history in which the divine teaching was as extensive, as high and deep, as thorough as in these days. But this is not sufficient. Every speaking of God obliges and gives the church a task that it has to fulfill. For nobody lives for himself. But if we live, we live for the Lord. And whether we die for the Lord. And firstly, we must die to ourselves before we can live for the Lord. And for this, God will give us grace, if it has not yet taken place, that it may happen in his name and by his power. In the next verse, it says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So did he come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse is of greatest significance. It is apostolic and it is prophetic. It contains both. And at all times, it spoke to the children of God who waited for the return of the Lord. And today, it's us. And I think that we can be convinced of it, that we are going to witness it. At the same time, I want to say, we are careful not to put a date. For God alone determines the beginning and the end of time, and also the time of grace. But here it speaks of the divine fullness in the church in this context, namely while you wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What good is our waiting? What good is our knowledge about the return of the Lord? Even when we go out to meet the bridegroom and have a bit oil in the lamp, but not having the cruse with a divine fullness, these resources of God out of which we can draw, if we don't have it, then one day, even that light will diminish, namely the illumination which we received in this time. So, not a sober, yes, sober, but no dry observation of the word revealed by God, but being led into it, by the Holy Spirit, into the divine revelation of his word and of his will in this time, that the same Spirit, the same anointing could rest upon all of us, as it rested on the prophets and the apostles, and also in particular on Brother Branham, in this generation, who, as we all know, was a chosen tool of God. Church of the Lord, whether gathered here today or wherever the several members of the body of Jesus Christ might be. Let it be said to all of us, and let us take it to heart. The knowledge about the end time, about the messenger, about the message, about the end of days in which we arrived, about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, about the return of the children of Israel, about all the things which happen around us. It is good, yes, and necessary, but this is not the last conclusion of wisdom. This is just the beginning to draw our attention to that what God, through the Spirit, has to say to the church and what He wants to achieve through and in her. Returning to the first love, having had an experience with God, as it was at the beginning, for the end must be as the beginning was. Here it says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Of Daniel we have read it. God gave him steadfastness continually, also to the three men in the furnace. Whatever came or went, God's people remain faithful. There's no other way, because we had an experience with God. Not because we feel strong, but because the mighty hand of God holds us. And Daniel, did not thrash around to defend himself against the lions. God has sent his angel and closed the mouth of the lions. And he was a free person, without getting nervous. This we have to imagine. What an unshakable faith this man had. Not when the sun was shining, but when everything collapsed on top of him, and when he should become the food of the lions there. And behold, he stood on 2 feet of faith, because he trusted the Lord, and God could not leave him nor forsake him. For this he promised. How shall it be with us? There might come worse times than they are now. We have read in the sermons of Brother Branham about the squeeze which will come, and of some things. Persevering steadfast until the end will be worthwhile for everyone who has put his trust in God. The reward doesn't come today, but as in Revelation, in chapter 11, it is written in connection with the seventh trumpet, now the reward has come for the servants of God and his prophets and for the saints. The reward comes at the end, after we reached the destination, after we persevered, after we remained steadfast, may come what may come. We will go on in a moment, but I first want to emphasize this thought and once again read it. While ye wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before that, blessed with every spiritual blessing, enriched with all teaching and knowledge. The testimony of Christ has taken root and was firmly settled in the individuals. But all that was not sufficient yet. But that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also this thought we shall recall to one another. Rather, being in a church in which God can manifest Himself, and where there's also a rebuke and a correction, than in a church for which neither God nor the enemy cares. That's how it is. There, where God really manifests Himself, where He truly plans something, there also the enemy will come, and there he will cause havoc. But thanks be to the Lord. He who is of God and who is really part of the church, now not a earthly church with a name so-and-so as a denomination, but to the blood-bought multitude, to the church of the firstborn, such a man who is born of God, he will act upon an advice at any time and lets himself be corrected. He who can't put up with this, he walks still on his own ways. Therefore, Paul writes, "Dear brethren, let yourselves be corrected, accept admonitions," and so forth. We live in a time in which God teaches and also admonishes. If I think on the word which I probably read last Sunday in Zurich, today I at least want to look at two scriptures. I will use them in the coming circular letter. But to show us here today in what kind of way God transferred the promises which applied to Christ then on the church. For as God was in Christ, so Christ is in the church. And it's of course the body of the Lord, made up of many members. Here, Paul writes in Acts chapter 13, a very wonderful word. Acts 13, from verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us." Let us stop at this word. "For so has the Lord commanded us." Such a formulation does not exist in the entire Old Testament. And I take you to the Old Testament word from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 6. Here it says, And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." If we compare this scripture with some others, then this is one of the clearest and most comprehensive promises and prophecies regarding Jesus Christ our Lord. He should save the people of Israel, but already through the prophet Hosea, God also spoke, "Ye who you are not my people, ye shall be called sons of the living God." A light to illuminate the Gentiles. Here, in the singular it is spoken, "I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles." Paul turns the singular into a plural. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you understand it. It is God's plan of salvation with Christ and the church, the continuation of the work of God. And Paul, an authorized man and apostle, he writes, "For so has the Lord commanded us." For so has the Lord commanded us. And then he quotes the word correctly, "I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles." Jesus Christ, the light of the world. That's how we can read it in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1. John came to testify of the light, and later on, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord looks at his disciples and says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world." The commission of God, which started with Christ, and the kingdom of God, which he founded, is carried out by the church of the living God. Let me read on. "For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." I take you now back to two scriptures without reading them. Matthew chapter 10. "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And this word we contrast with Mark 16, probably verse 16. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Hallelujah. Oh, the manifold wisdom of God. The scribes could immediately have said, "Dear Lord, what did you say here? Don't go into the way of the Gentiles. And there you say, go into all the world. For so the Lord commanded us. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So Christ manifests himself through the church among the nations until the fullness has come in, so that he can return to take us home. Have we understood this? Have we recognized the responsibility? Perhaps I should still read you this one word, which can become great to me, and I think to all of us. To me, it has become great already. I hope to find it right away. Acts 26. Here the Lord spoke to Paul himself. Perhaps we read from verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. Did we read right here? Do you all have your Bibles before you? The Lord speaks to a soul from Tarsus who had an encounter with him, who was allowed to see the light, and who received the divine call, and who was divinely illuminated himself. Thou shalt open their eyes. We would today pray piously and say, Dear Savior, open to these people their eyes. The Lord has a church on earth through which he would like to work. And here we must, not only I examine myself almost hourly. And if I say daily, then this is the absolute truth in the presence of God. We should have moved forward long ago. God should and could have manifested himself a long time ago. And the reason can only be because of our unbelief. We must come into lockstep with God, to one faith and one doctrine and knowledge, so that the to and fro comes to an end. The best unity is of no use if not all know from where the command comes, and that they have to obey it. When at the time of Joshua this captain came, he was asked, Who art thou? Are you for us or against us? And he said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. And then I can hear Joshua say, Come and go before us. We must recognize that God requires more of us than just to hear the sermons or to hear them. God has started a conversation with us, and he has a right for an answer. The prophetic message was addressed to us and has put upon us a divine responsibility from which we cannot withdraw until the last day of our lives. And together we must walk. Paul didn't say in Acts 13, commanded me, but us. Is this not wonderful? For so the Lord commanded us. He didn't see himself alone. He saw the church. To him, the mystery with the church was revealed. What did Brother Branham see in the preview? He saw the church. And may it be complained to God today. He cringed. It shocked him when he looked forward and saw that a witch was leading this church. Where is the captain of the host, who is strong in battle, who didn't lose any fight? He shall walk before us, he the head of the church, and his rear guard shall be with us. As it was then, so also now. How was God with Israel? When it came to fighting the enemy in front, then the Lord was in front of them. And when it came to keeping them away from behind, then he was behind them. Is this not wonderful? During the day, the pillar of cloud. At night, the pillar of fire. The same God and Lord. And I think we must stop dreaming. We must understand what God requires from us in these days. Our beloved brother Kupfer came before the meeting in the office with the same longing and said, "Brother Frank, in all these past years, we have heard such mighty sermons. Where is our experience with God?" And this is the question of all of us. We didn't lack the preaching. Whose fault is it? It would not help here if we would start to blame someone. But one thing we may do, we may say, "Faithful God, look at your people graciously. Bless, Lord, your inheritance. Lead it on the right way, so that the enemy does not destroy it." Paul, a man of God, made the beginning and has put his ministry upon the prophetic foundation. He invoked the word of the Lord. "I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Hallelujah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified one, must remain the power of God. It cannot just be words. For thus it is written, "The word of the cross is foolishness to them who get lost, but to us who we are saved, it is the power of God." Before we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit, we must have first experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified one, to know where we stand. What does our Lord say? Or the Lord through Paul? All of the word is, of course, "Thus saith the Lord." He wrote here to the Ephesians a wonderful word. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." A finished work, and this we must understand. Let us not belong to them who work on their salvation their whole life, and on the deathbed have no certainty, but let us belong to them who understood that it was a divine deed. Here it is written, when we were dead in sins, without being violent to the Word of God, we can say, before we were born, before we were here, God pardoned us in Christ and redeemed us and made us children of God. That's how we read it here. Perhaps we read it again. Are we not overwhelmed? Doesn't that mean anything to us anymore? Oh, may God's word reach our hearts. And if this is not the case, then we still have a prayer meeting today. And then not one is waiting for the other. But we all call upon the name of the Lord. And the Holy Scripture says it already in the prophet Joel. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And do you think this ends here? I tell you no. In the next verse is written the result of this redemption, which we received by the love and grace of God, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can we believe this? Can we believe this? That we are people still on earth, and nevertheless with Christ, having been crucified, buried, risen, and sit together with him in heavenly places. This is divine message. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we can believe this, then I would not marvel when sometimes our feet would be lifted from this earth. After all, we sing in that one chorus, take me away from this earth. Make my faith great. Give me a faithful mind. Receive me fully, Lord Jesus. In reference to the Lord, this word had been prophesied. I have set thee to be a light for the Gentiles. It is not enough for me that I save the tribes of Israel. No, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Is it not still written in Matthew 24, verse 14? This gospel of the kingdom must be preached unto all nations for a witness, and then the end shall come. And Paul says, the kingdom of God didn't come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. There, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, the power of God must be manifested. Therefore, the necessity that the blood of the Lord and his word and his spirit work together in the gatherings of the saints so that forgiveness, reconciliation, new life and the divine confirmation can be manifested among them who have put their trust in God. Paul, by revelation, a man who saw the light and asks, who art thou, Lord? This Lord who should become the light of the Gentiles appeared to him to whom the revelation was given. And he says, for so the Lord commanded us, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Beloved, we believe and we are convinced that the same pillar of fire, the same light, the same Lord appeared to Brother Branham. God did not owe us any answer. Through word and spirit, signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, as they didn't take place since the days of Jesus. So, we are strengthened in the faith, and we understand that God has included us into His program. Whosoever is wasting time now with all the unnecessary stuff, he will still do it after the coming of the Lord. The hour is here, and God requires His people to understand that not only the Lord, but that the Lord has ordained the church to carry His word, and not only His word, also His power, His spirit, His life. We as the church of the living God must be fully equipped with everything what Jesus Christ was and what He had and what He is. Only then we can speak of and testify of that the restoration of all that what God lost took place. And this may God give me and to all of us. Before we close or come to pray, I nevertheless want to ask the question, who could very personally, in the presence of God, this evening, who could conform into this image, into this task, into the Church of God, of which we are all a member of, members among one another, and our Lord is the head. Who could, with a willing heart and spirit, place himself in it? And who is ready to say, Lord, one alone cannot do it. Also, Paul alone could not do it. A Brother Branham alone could not do it. And a Brother Frank, he cannot do it at all. And we as ministering brethren also not. But together we can do it. For thus it is written, He commanded us. Us. Did we understand this? Not only one, all of us, who we in these last days have heard the divine message, we are just as addressed as all who in the days of Paul believed that the Lord appeared to him, that he saw the light, and that he has spoken by a divine commission. If we recognized that with Brother Branham the same happened, then we want to let ourselves be placed into the body of the Lord. First, we must experience the power of redemption, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and believe that we were made already alive in Christ. And whom He made alive, of Him He says in John chapter 10, Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Hallelujah. And then He asks, Believest thou this? Yes, this we believe with all our heart. For we have crossed from death into life. And not only that, according to this word, please hear it and believe it, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we could have a heartfelt, a grateful amen in our hearts and in our souls and in our mouths. That we thank our God for this redemption worked in Christ before we were born, before we were here. God had pardoned us already in Christ, forgiven, redeemed, made to children of God, placed into heaven. Tell me, have you understood this? Oh, the love of God, as a hymn goes, from ancient times and always new. Redeemed, redeemed, I may glorify it. Redeemed by the blood of the Savior, may this work of redemption, which had costed our Lord so much, may it flash out to us anew, and may we bear our responsibility together with God, and not just waiting that only one is doing everything, but together, and together we will make it with God's help. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your mighty speaking to all of us this evening through your precious and holy word. Lord, we cannot be silent because we believe you, that you have spoken and that you are at work. Lord, you not only revealed yourself to Daniel, you reveal yourself to all them who have taken refuge in you, Lord, and who wait for you and who trust in you. Lord, we are your people. We trust in you and in your grace. Praise be to your wonderful name. We don't let you go, except you bless us. You are our God, hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. We give you the glory and the praise, Lord. Faithful God, you see our hearts, Lord. We want to serve you even more, Lord. We want to have more of you, Lord. More unto the end, until we come from believing unto seeing, Lord. Worship and honor be to your wonderful and glorious name, Lord, which is above every name, in which is all the salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Make us people who always serve you, Lord, who put their hope in you. Whatever may come, Lord, oh, glory and worship be to you, you wonderful God. Work in all the hearts right now, Lord. We look up to you, Lord. You are our hope. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. Lord, glory to your name, which is above every name. Oh, God, we don't let you go. Manifest yourself, my God, as we are in supplication before you. Hallelujah. Worship and honor to your name. Glory to you. Hallelujah. My God, make an end to all unbelief, an end to all doubts, and reveal yourself in a mighty way among your people for the praise and for the glory of God. As in the days of Daniel, let it become visible, Lord, that you stand with us as we stand with you. Manifest thyself thy power. Hallelujah. Save, heal, deliver, confirm thy word. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ become a mighty power of God, and may it be also manifested as such. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory, and worship to your name. Lord, you have commanded us to carry your word unto the ends of the earth. May your salvation be made known to all peoples, tongues, and nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be to the Lamb which was sacrificed and which has redeemed us, pardoned us, made us alive, putting us in heavenly places. Hallelujah. No one of us can get lost anymore, because we were saved and have been placed already in heavenly places through Jesus Christ our Lord. To this say all who believe it, Amen. That's how it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless, O Lord. Receive your people. Receive the worship from all our hearts, from all our mouths, whether young or old. All of us, we want to open our hearts and mouths, lifting up our hands, praising your name. You are our God. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name, O God. Receive the honor, receive the praise, receive the glory. We want to continually serve you, exalting your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, in this service, the Lord not only showed us his word, but also what he did with us, giving us the perfect redemption through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And according to the Spirit, he has transferred us in heavenly places so that the devil can never bring us back from earth. Should still somebody be here who did not penetrate to this living faith, beloved, today you can penetrate in the presence of God, and he will let you succeed as certain as he has spoken to us this evening. He wants to do it to confirm his word. As all heads are bowed, as all eyes are closed, and we are in prayer before God, lift up your hands if you mean it sincerely and you want to penetrate and say, Lord, today I've heard it. Today I believe it. Today I receive it. It is finished. It took place. Hallelujah. God sees all the hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is mightily present to confirm his word. Hallelujah. God's word is the truth. He accomplished it. It is finished. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us pray again. O God, You have seen the hearts and the hands. We cannot do otherwise but to believe your word, Lord. And so receive us as we are and accept us by your grace. We are your people, the sheep of your hand. We know you have shed your blood for us. You purged us. You sanctified us. Hallelujah. We ask it in Jesus' name. May all malice, may every slander be taken out from your people, and may your word take root in us, is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.